I was working the other night, somewhere between 1 and 3 o'clock, and I happened to go by where a television was. And if you don't know about the news, and if you don't know what's going on in the world, get up some morning about 2 or 3 o'clock and watch CNN. It's loaded with the nearest nothing you have ever heard in your life. And there was only one thing, I watched it for quite a while, there was only one thing that got my attention. And for about 15 minutes there, they had three preachers on. And those three preachers were talking about the end times, that what was going on in the world and how close we were to the coming of Christ. Now this really made my day. Out of all the rest of the news that I listened to, it was not that good, but when I hear three preachers talking about Christ coming back and establishing His kingdom here upon the earth and the things that are going to happen, that got my attention because I guess since I've been coming to this church, and it goes all the way back, I think I was baptized Father's Day 1963, and I was an old man then, so I'm not trying to shirk my age. But I've always wanted to walk on people's feet and step on their toes and wake them up and let them know what is going on in the world that they may not be aware of. And that's where we're heading this morning. It's good that we go back into the Bible and we study it a whole lot. Bible prophecy today is being fulfilled at a rapid pace. It's just amazing, all of the things that are going on in the world, and they're going on at such a rapid pace that we cannot keep up with it. I've always been fond of the chapter 24 in Matthew, and it's always good to look at it because it gives us a sign of things that are to come. And this is what I want to worry or warn the church about. What's going on in the world and what's going on in the church? Because God has given us a message that we should share with everybody. And this is the message that He has given us. He says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures until the end shall be saved." This is God's Word to us. And we are living in a time when all of these things are happening. If you are keeping up with the daily news, you find that the Muslim world are wanting to kill off the Jewish people and also the Christian people. We fit into that category. We're supposed to be Christian people. But you need to understand also that there are a bunch of people out there that want to kill you. They want to get rid of anybody that's a Christian or a Jew because they think that they're doing God a favor if they get rid of us. According to this book here, they're totally wrong, because God says that He is love. And love does not kill. And it disturbs me tremendously when I see what's going on in the world and I see how slack we become as Christians. I've had people tell me that they have done their part. I don't think if I live to be 100 or 150 or 200 years old, I could do my part, because I didn't know it came in parts. It's for all of us. If we're professed to be Christians, it's time that we stand up for God. It's time that we serve Him to the best of our ability. There's coming a time when you're not going to have preachers like you have today. Because preachers today, and I've talked with a lot of them, they have quit preaching. They said they have found something better to do. And now, I retired several times, but I've never quit. Because I think when I quit, I'm dead. That's the way I look at it. I think God wants me to go as long as I can go. I think that's why I'm still here. According to the doctors, I should have been dead twice. But I'm not. I'm alive and well. And I can still spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. I can still talk about the good news of His coming kingdom and how great it's going to be when His Son comes back. We forget this so easy. We get so carried away with what's going on in the world that when Sunday rolls around, we pack up and go to the beach or to the lake or wherever. That's well and good, as long as you don't do it over one time a year. I'll give you one time a year. That's all I get. I take one vacation a year, and I took mine last Sunday. So I'm back. And our preacher's gone. And if I step on your feet today, get mad at me. Don't get mad at him. Because that's just the way I am. If I create the problem, I'll take the blame for the problem. But the church today needs to stand up for God. The church today needs to share this gospel with the people it come in contact with. I was telling you, I think the last time I was here, about this guy telling me that he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. I told him I was a Christian and just leave my God alone. And it wasn't 3 hours later, he says, "Oh my God." And I looked at him. I says, "You can't say that." He says, "Why?" I says, "Because you don't have a God. You've done told me that you didn't have one." I says, "Now don't come here and tell me, oh my God, when you don't have a God." And I think that's the message the church needs to get. We don't need to call on God if we don't have one. And if we're not doing what He tells us to do, we don't have Him. We're walking away from Him. We need to draw closer to Him. Because, folks, it's nearer than you think. I want to read a scripture to you. It's back in the Old Testament somewhere. I can tell you what page it's on. If you want to look it up, it's on page 119 in my Bible. 1019 in my Bible, let's put it that way. And I want you to listen to these words in here. Amos, chapter 8. Wilman Gentry knows where it's at. He's read it. He's quoted it. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. That's what we're facing today. There are so many churches that have pulled away from God. They have. I had one fellow says he liked their contemporary music. I said, there's nothing wrong with contemporary music as long as you don't get contemporary preaching. When you get contemporary preaching, you're going backwards. So if you're going to sing contemporary music, sing it great. Sing it loud. Let people know how you feel about it. But if you're going to preach the gospel and don't back off from it. The Bible says if you please men, you're not pleasing God. Folks, I'm not here to please you today. I'm here to please God because I think somebody has got to stand up and say it's time to get up and go to work and share this gospel because there's going to come a time when we're not going to have it. And we need to share it with as many people as we can. It's good to go back every once in a while and read these old prophecies. I probably more than most just get a big kick out of it because half of it I don't understand and the other half I can't even spell. So it makes a lot of sense so when you sit down and you read it and you study it and you see what it says. But the days come, saith the Lord, that there's going to be a famine. And when we think about famines, we think about no food. We think about starvation. We think about people doing without. And when that comes, the church is going to be in sad shape unless we do something about it. You see, it's up to us to share this gospel. It's up to us to do everything we can to encourage people to serve God. It disturbs me a lot of times when I see things that are going on. There are so many enemies against the church out there today. The church is going to have to be strong if it's going to survive. We're going to have to be strong if we're going to endure until the end. And if we don't endure until the end, I haven't found anything in there where it says we're going to be saved. It says if we endure to the end, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do. I can't imagine a time coming when we'll not be able to hear the Word of God. I hear a lot of preachers nowadays, and they leave a big portion of the message out of their preaching. I asked one feller who was a preacher why he didn't preach what the Bible said. He says, well, if I preach what the Bible said, they would kick me out of church. I says, God's going to kick you out of His kingdom. Which would it rather be? Would you rather be kicked out of church or would you rather be kicked out of God's kingdom? That's why he says, if you're pleasing man, you're not pleasing me. And I've always been afraid of God. I don't think I've ever run into a man that I was afraid of. I've ran into a few snakes. And as long as I could see them, I wasn't afraid of them. But God, I'm afraid of. Not because of anything that he's done or anything that I've done. But it's just because he tells us to be so good and so honest and so true. And I'm just afraid that I'm slipping. I'm afraid I'm not doing everything the way he wants me to do, and that scares me. Because I know that if I'm going to be in God's kingdom, I'm going to have to serve God the way he's laid it out here. He tells me what I'm supposed to do. He says, you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to visit the sick. You're supposed to visit the hungry. You're supposed to feed the hungry. You're supposed to visit those in prisons. And you can be in prison without being in prison, because a lot of times we can make a prison out of our home. And that's sad, when it should be a place of love and joy, where you really enjoy your family and you have a great time. And there's so many now where, and you see it every day, where a husband shoots a wife or a wife shoots a husband. The love is gone. There's no love there. And that's what God tells us to do. He says to love one another. It's sad when we get into that shape where we want to kill somebody. I was in service, but I never had a desire to kill anybody. I was there to defend our country and there to defend myself. I was thankful that I didn't have to kill anybody. And I wouldn't want to kill anybody now. But we're killing people if we don't talk with them about what God wants them to know. We're killing people if we don't say, hey, listen to the word. Do what the Bible tells you to do. If we don't get them into God's kingdom, we're killing them. Because the Bible says they're going to be destroyed in a lake of fire. And if we're not trying to get them into God's kingdom, we're helping them go the other direction. And I really think that's wrong on our part. Because we're failing. We're not doing what we should do. I know it's tough sometimes to say things that you don't want to say. I know it's tough sometimes to say things that you shouldn't have to say. But there are times in everybody's life, and there will be times in your life when you will have to talk and when you will have to say something. If you're going to spread the word of God, you're going to encounter people who don't want to hear it. I found one easy way to talk with people that have differences of opinion. I have been willing to listen to them, provided they would be willing to listen to me. And I find that works pretty good. Because if you tell somebody you're not going to listen to them, then chances are very good they're not going to listen to you. So it's up to us to work out these things. It's up to us as teachers, you know, to reach people. And I've always wanted to see this church grow all the way out to the highway out here. Then we could build one of them walkways over it and have some more on the other side. There's one like that up in Greenville, and I like the looks of that. That you have so many people, you had to put a walkway over the highway to get to it. Wouldn't it be fun if we had that many people that was seeking the kingdom of God, that they would be willing to build a walkway up over the highway so they could get to church? That would be fun. Then you would know that their heart was seeking after God. When we see a lot of things going on that are going on, and there's going to be more. I know we look at the Middle East, anytime you look at it, you know, they're blowing up women and children in the supermarkets. And I had an opportunity to talk with someone this last week. I have always believed that being a soldier in the United States military, that you were doing a service for the people of America. Because I've always believed that when we went over there, it was to fight the enemy. And if we don't go over there to fight the enemy, then they're going to come over here. And we're going to have to fight the enemy over here. And I've never figured it would be any fun to see our mothers and our daughters and our children and our fathers, you know, treated like they're treated over there. But if we don't put them stop somewhere, we'll have to stop them here. And we don't want to have to do that. That's what's going on in the world today. They're wanting to get rid of the Christians. I think I made a comment a few months ago about the lawyers wanting to take Christ out of the prayer, out of the Bible. And I have talked with a lot of people, and I have tried to convince them not to pay attention to the lawyers. Because if you leave Christ out of your life, you cannot see God. If you don't use Christ, you cannot reach God with your prayers. You see, God is so righteous, He cannot look on us because we're evil. He does not listen to the wicked. That's why His Son was born, so that He could listen, and then He could tell His Father about us. That's what it's all about. We've got to listen, and we've got to have Christ in our lives, and we've got to have God in our lives. We've got to have this love in here that He wants us to have. It's alarming to see what's going on. And I talk with people, especially young people. Young people have always made me feel young. And I have always enjoyed being around young people and working with young people. They are the future of the church. I know most of our young people are gone today, but their parents are here. I know the young people will have to be taught what their future holds. And you parents, that's your job, to teach those young people. And you're not going to be able to teach those young people if you don't know what to teach them. That's why it's important that you come to church, that you listen to your Sunday school teachers, that you listen to your preachers. If there's ever a time that you need to know where something's at in the Bible, call Wilman Gentry. He's always available. And chances are very good he knows exactly where it's at because he's been there. And I have too. But I've spent a lot of time studying this book. I don't regret it. I wish I would have spent more time studying it because I believe I would have been smarter. Every once in a while, you know, you get to the point where you think that you know more than God. And I found out a long time ago that I'm not even close. I'm not even close. I'm just thankful that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me enough that He will watch over me, that He will take care of me. I'm glad to know that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me enough that He allowed His Son to die on the cross for my sins. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to know that some of you people in this church I have baptized, and you're still in church. I'm glad to know that there's some of you people in this church that are married. You're still married. I was talking with a young couple not too long ago that I married them 33 years ago. They're grown and have grandchildren. And they say they still talk about me. I talk about them too. Because it's good to know that you had a hand in something good. And it's good to know that you can help people, that you can work with people, that you can train them and teach them about God's ways. God's ways are not past finding out. We can't be God, but we can listen to this book, this word, and we can know that what He wants us to do, what He wants us to be, what He wants us to say. If we look at what's going on in the world today about the last days that these preachers were talking about, we have a lot to share with each other. Where does that leave us? That leaves us with a job to do. It leaves us with a tremendous job. One that we probably think we can't fulfill. I've decided the way that we can handle it is to rededicate our lives to God, work harder than we've ever worked before. Don't get tired and discouraged, but get energized and talk with people and let them know that there is coming a time when all of the wickedness on the earth is going to be done away with. We don't want to be a part of that wickedness. We want to be a part of the goodness that's going to live forever in God's kingdom when Christ comes back. We know that we're going to have troubles in this life. You have to remember one thing. God says He will never put more on you than you're able to bear. You've always got somebody there you can go to. If you reach a time in your life when you need somebody to talk to, call me. Call Wilman. Call anybody in this church. And if they don't listen to you, you call me. And I'll find out why. Because I failed somewhere. And I don't want to fail God any way possible. I want to do everything I can for Him, for this church, for Christian people everywhere. That's what we're here for. That's why we were chosen. I think that's why I'm still living. He had something He wanted me to do. That's what the nurse told me when I left the hospital. She says, God's not through with you yet. I says, I hope not. I says, because if He's not through with me, that means that He's still having something to do with me. And that means He knows about me. And I'm glad. Folks, if I've stepped on your feet today, I'm glad. I hope your toes hurt all the way home. And I don't want you to forget what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to encourage the church to do what God wants us to do. And that share this gospel of the kingdom of God with the rest of the world. And if you have opportunity at work, wherever, share it. Because God's word says that this book here, the words in it will not return to God void, but they will accomplish what God intended. And if we hide them in this book, and if we hide them in our heart, and if we don't share them, then we've done a disservice to people. So it's up to us to share the words of this book with people to help make people better people so that they can go out and help. And I just hope that somewhere along the way we're going to all be in God's kingdom together and we're going to be celebrating. And so I think that's something to look forward to. I want to thank you people for coming today. I want to thank you for listening to me. Maybe you won't ever have to listen to anybody else. Step on your toes. But, you know, God says you're pleasing me when you're not pleasing men. And I'm not here to please you. I'm here to warn you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to take care of you and do anything I can for you. There's one here today that has not accepted Christ as their Savior. One who would like to accept Christ to be baptized. We give you the invitation as we sing our closing song. Our Father in heaven, with joyful hearts, we come in your presence this morning. Lord God, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word with those in this building, knowing that you bring fruits from all of the things that we do. We ask your blessing upon your word. We're thankful for each one that's come in today, those that have sickness and problems. Father, we ask you to bless them and watch over them. Those that are sick, we pray for your tender mercies, and that it would, if it be your will, that you would heal them. Father, we long for the coming of your Son back to this earth to establish your kingdom upon this earth, and we just pray that you would give us the wisdom and the ability to share this with other people. Help us to reach out and to warn people about what's going to take place and what they need to do to be ready when Jesus comes back. Because if we miss out when he comes back, we've missed it all. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word with others. And we pray that this word will not return to you void, but that it will accomplish what you please. Again, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.